Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Because of the Presbyterian tradition we fall heir to, the Psalms were kind of drilled into the soul of Scotland at one time in the metrical version. And some, of course, were more catching than others, more meaningful, and Psalm 46 must be one of those favourites. It pictures turmoil and upheaval, disasters both natural and man-made, so the earth can shake, the waters can rear and foam and seethe and tumult. Experiences that far too many in parts of the world do go through fairly frequently, and we hear about them quite often. But also the nations rage, the kingdoms are overturned. Again, you don't have to look very far to see evidence of that reality. And at the moment, we know the current situations in the very place where the psalmist was writing, torn apart in the way it's being torn apart. Man-made disasters which afflict humanity. And to that, we can add our own personal issues as well that often rock us to the very foundation. There are always things which threaten us and can shake our faith. So naturally, we take in this psalm a great source of comfort. In the midst of the turmoil and all the upheaval, we have a refuge and a strength in God. Like boats with a storm forecast all run to the nearest harbour to shelter, we have a refuge in God in that kind of sense. And the repeated refrain in the psalm reminds us that we have God, the God of Jacob, with us, the historical God, the same God back then as now, who will be with us. And because of the turmoil we face in life, we tend to latch on to that promise. We go straight to the idea that God is our refuge and strength. We want that. And so we kind of put the emphasis on the second part of the phrase. But perhaps the emphasis should be at the beginning. God is our refuge and strength. There's a kind of question implicit, really. Is God truly our refuge and strength, or do we take shelter in other things? Certainly, when we're in trouble, we will run and be more fervent in prayer and want to get help and ask God for help. But when things are going all right, or we're maybe a bit jaded or whatever, we kind of think, well, we can get by on our own strength, and we neglect God and faith and prayer. Is it really God that we put all our trust in? There's a great wee story you might have heard before about, it's a good modern parable about an atheist walking along a cliff and he falls over the edge. And as he tumbles down, he catches hold of a branch of a small tree growing out of a crevice. So there he hung between heaven above and the rocks below, knowing he wasn't going to be able to hang on much longer. Then an idea came to him. God, he shouted with all his might. Silence. No one responded. God, he shouted again, if you exist, save me. And I promise I shall believe in you and teach others to believe in you and be good for the rest of my life. Silence again. And then he almost let go of the branch in fright when he heard a mighty voice boom across the canyon. That's what they all say when they're in trouble. No, God, no, he shouted. Don't you see now, more hopeful? It's not like all the others. Why, I already begun to believe in you when I've heard your voice. Don't you see that now that's happened? I will, if you save me, I'll proclaim your name to the ends of the earth. Very well, said the voice, I'll save you. Let go of the branch. Let go of the branch, yelled the distraught man. Do you think I'm crazy? Another long silence. Is there anyone else there? The man said. What's the point of the story? Well, the man had an option to cling to what he had, which admittedly wasn't very much, and he could hold on for a wee bit longer, but it wasn't going to last a great length of time. But he had that little bit of security he would cling on to. Or let that go and trust in God. Let God be the refuge and help. And that, I think, is what it means for God truly to be our refuge. Not just a refuge when we need it, but really our home, the one that we rely on ultimately. And so we're prepared, if need be, to give up all that we hold dear, every bit of security that we cling to, and go forward, letting go of the branch. Yeah, we value things, we cherish them, of course we do. But there are times when we're asked to let go of a particular branch and go out in faith. I always think it's interesting that the American dollar has on it, "In God we trust." Those who designed them clearly wanted a reminder on the money that it ultimately it's not the great dollar that you rely on, but God. But that's just what we do. We put our trust in things of this world. We want to hold on to them for our security until everything goes wrong, and then we run looking for shelter. What would it mean to pare away all that we put our trust in and trust in God? We cling to every bit of security and in our church and our personal faith, but we are to trust in God. So what we're sealing tonight, what we're doing in marking this linkage, is, to be honest, a minor change in comparison to the turmoil and upheaval that's happening in many other parts of the country. But I think we can all relate to that feeling implicit in the psalm, that so many of our long-held assumptions in recent years have been shaken to the core. The whole idea of parish ministry, the whole idea of the parish and the place of the church in the community has been challenged like never before. The future of the church might make us fearful. Presbytery has been through a major change to form the new setup that we have now. None of that has been easy, nor particularly comfortable. All the old familiars are shaken to the foundations. And that's before we even touch on the upheaval that was COVID. And so people are shaken and a bit worn and ragged. We hold on to our own resources to do things. We trust in our traditions, our buildings, whatever we want, the things we do, the things we feel comfortable with, because we know what we like, and we like what we know. But the journey of faith is about letting go, trusting God, that He is our refuge and strength. But then the psalm continues in verse 4, "There is a river whose streams bring joy or make glad the city of God." If the idea of fortress and refuge suggests something stable and firm and rock solid, the image of river adds a feeling of movement and flexibility. And this river brings joy. What might that mean in relation to the psalm? You know, nearly every great European city that you can think of has grown up around a river. So London's got its Thames, Paris the Seine, Rome the Tiber, Dunkeld the Tay. And there's other places on it as well, like Perth and Dundee. But these old communities clustered around water because it was so essential. And that's where they grew. And the one exception in the medieval world that I can think of is Edinburgh. It was a long way from the sea and a long way from any flowing water in the old city. What did they call it? Auld Reekie. People wrote tunes called "The Flowers of Edinburgh" to celebrate the lovely perfume of this city. That one bit of history children love is the story of Gardaí Lou. And I'm sure all medieval cities were fairly pungent, but Edinburgh must have excelled, given there was no running water. So what's now Princes Street Gardens, as you know, was an open sewer. The mound was the rubbish chucked out of the high-rise houses in the Royal Mile, making it suitable, many might argue, for the place our General Assembly meets. Isn't that ironic? And where some of us were trained too. The river makes glad the city of God. It brings the vigour and the life and the vitality, keeps it fresh and clean and healthy and strong. And not only that, there's great power. Water, which is soft and pliable in a glass, has got tremendous power to carve its route through rock. And you see that just coming up the A9 as you look at the Tummel and then the Tay and the way they have shaped through the landscape. What a lovely image of the Spirit at work in our lives. God is our strength. And as we open up to the Spirit in our lives, the flow of the Spirit is fresh, living water that pours in. And the old dross of sin and wrong and the past and fears and worries are washed away, and it brings new, clear water to give us strength. What a lovely image, because all the other things written about in the psalm, the things that assail us, are strong and powerful wars and earthquakes and kingdoms tottering and mountains. And in the midst of that, a river. God's power and strength is a different quality, but an irresistible force. God is our refuge and strength. God is our life and our vitality. And therefore, in the light of this, be still and know that I am God. As Jesus commanded the waves, be still, be quiet. Don't you have enough faith to experience that? On the one hand, that is a question of learning trust and faith, that to be still is to hand our concerns over to God, to leave him in charge. That's often easier said than done. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, the permanence, the solidity of God is there for us. And Jacob, remember, he was a bit of a cheat and not a terribly nice character, and God stood by him. So surely he'll stand by us as well. So let be still, and let God consciously hand over your worries and concerns to him, and let him flow in. That's an act of faith, to put our trust in God. And through that, we learn stillness. And through the stillness and listening for God, we know, not in a head sense. Be still and know that you're in God's arms. I don't know about you, but the more frantic I become at times, the less attention prayer and faith gets. So you rely more and more on your own resources, and so it goes on. There's a vicious spiral. And the more anxious we get about things in church, and what's going on and what the future will be, the more and more anxious we become and the less we rely on God, and we just forget to be still and know. Listen for his voice, wait for him, and deliberately hand things over. And then we begin to find that peace which passes all understanding. Be still and know. Not in the sense of understanding necessarily, but just to know. Knowing that you're his now and forever, even if we don't understand that, that the kind of peace and assurance that comes from being God's and being in his presence and placing ourselves in his arms brings that wonderful peace and calm to the storms that we all face. Amen.